Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Within the week, you will know. A violent energy from heaven. Violent energy from heaven. We invade your ecosystem. Reconstruct it. And in 3 days, your walls will change. Just lift your hands toward heaven. Lift your hands toward heaven. Lift your hands toward heaven. The three people I speak about this morning, the anointing of God will come on them. Just become, you don't need to do anything. The anointing. What wants to lift you is the hand of God. You have tried. You have used your effort. It didn't work. Now God wants to lift you. And so the anointing will come on you now. And it will lift you from where you are to where you ought to be. Precious Holy Spirit, you asked that we start with these ones. You didn't come for a message, you came for an encounter. And so before we begin this morning, I speak by the Spirit. Let the energy of God, the hand of God that lifts the beggar from the dunghill, let that hand come upon you by the strength of the Spirit and move you to where you ought to be. The anointing of God's Spirit that makes men. Please don't pray. You don't need to pray now. Just be calm. Just be calm. It's an anointing to come upon you now. Father, three people you are picking out of us this morning, just take calm, please. I don't want to jack up the energy. It will take too much of our time. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You will sense the weight of glory come on you, and the garment of reproach will be taken away. And as you step out of this service from this morning, your destiny will be rewritten. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I release that weight of glory upon them gently. That weight comes upon them. Receive that grace now and walk with it. Receive that grace now. Receive that grace now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Father. How many of you sense the weight of God come upon you visibly, literally? If you did it, just wave at me. Praise God. I didn't want to be violent, because if we push into that, we lose all the time. You may be seated. As you step out, you will see the change. This morning, I want to share with us, beginning with the theme of the conference, New Beginning. And I believe there will be a new beginning for someone this morning. Before I enter into the dynamics of spiritual acceleration, I just want to advance this morning the protocol for a new beginning. Nothing happens in the spirit by chance. Everything that happens in the spirit is deliberately orchestrated, and there are protocols that govern it. When you understand the protocols that governs spiritual operations, then you can replicate it any day, anytime. If you don't have understanding of the protocol, even if things happen around your life, you cannot be in control, because you cannot tell which of whatever it is that made the things that happen to happen. And so you'll be a victim of luck and chance. Because if you live your life on the scale of luck and chance, you are a victim. You cannot predict the outcomes of your destiny. Only a man who understands the protocols that govern spiritual realities is truly walking in the blessings. And so this morning, I want to advance the protocol for a new beginning. So whenever you notice or discern you are in a transition season, you will know what to do to effectively leap into that transition season. Praise God. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 3, God himself began to speak to Moses. And I'm saying this so you will know that you are not the one desiring the change. God desires the change you need much more than you do. Most times when we are walking through life, we judge the facts around us, and then we use those facts, put pressure on ourselves, and feel that we need an urgent change, and we begin to bombard on God, do something about this, do something about this. What you would need to know this morning is that God wants the change you are looking for much more than you do. The only problem is that he is regulated by laws. He has decided on account of his sovereignty to place himself under laws, and until a man discerns those laws and align with them, these things can never happen. And so if you know the protocol, it will happen with ease, because God desires it much more than you do. And this is why I am beginning with Deuteronomy 2 verse 3. The children of Israel had encompassed a mountain for too long, and God himself came and said, no, you have been around this vicinity for too long. It's time for you to migrate. Whereas, while they were moving, they were murmuring, they were complaining, they were crying. We need to go forward. God heard them. But there is a protocol that necessitates every spiritual advancement that manifests in the physical. If you know the protocol, you will realize that God moved many years before you moved. If you realize the protocol, you will know that God decreed your new beginning many months before. The reason you didn't leap into that new beginning is because you didn't know what you need to do. And so God had to tell the children of Israel, you have been here for too long. For some of you, you are yet to get married and you are buffeting God, bombarding God with prayer. God is telling you, you have been here for too long. For some of you, your business needs to change. You have been here for too long. The only problem is you don't know what ought to be done in order to migrate. And if you know God has moved, then faith will leap in your heart to do what you need to do in order to migrate. This is why God speaks to us most of the time. So in Isaiah 43 verse 18 and 19, he himself is telling us, he's not just telling us to move. He said, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Where you are staying now may become a former thing, and it may be a thing of old. The problem is that you don't know God is in your future already. You don't know God has gone ahead of you already. And so you are here complaining. He's telling you, move from this mountain. And it's also telling you, forget where you are standing. This is the old place. There is a new place I have prepared for you. It's time for you to migrate. But you need to understand the protocol. The moment you understand the protocol, you begin to cover mileage. And this morning, I believe a lot of people will not just understand what I will share, but they will give themselves to it, and their lives will become a testimony that the truth they know is truly efficacious. Praise the Lord. Why are new beginnings necessary? Quickly, before I speak about the protocol. Number one, new beginnings are necessary and they are a must because they are captured within prophetic utterances. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And it's not just talking about identifying you. Everything you ought to be was already crystallized into spiritual calendars. And so when you are not moving from one season to another season, the utterances that were spoken before you were born begins to put pressure, even in the spiritual, that this man needs to move. Imagine if you are a prophetic prophet over Enugu, and the prophet that was before your dispensation left 5 years ago, and you have not awoken to your calling. The prophetic utterance that holds the destiny of this city will begin to put pressure in the spirit that another prophet must rise. So the idea of a new beginning is superior to your personal interest. It has to do with God's calendar and God's eternal ordination. In Genesis chapter 15 verse 3, God was speaking to Abraham and he said, of a surety, your descendants will be in captivity for 400 years. And he said, then I will come and judge the nation that has kept them in captivity, and I will let your people go with a great spoil. But 400 years came and passed, Israel was still in captivity. When it was 390 years, pressure came on the land, and Moses picked that pressure. And Moses went out to kill Egyptians in order to engender captivity. What Moses was doing was not a product of his intelligence. It was not a product of his burden for Israel. What he was doing was the fact that he was resonating around a frequency that was captured in prophecy. And when 400 years comes, somebody must rise. And when no Israelite could discern it, God had to find the Israelite that is in the palace. And suddenly, he became dissatisfied with the pleasures of Egypt. But the problem is that he didn't know the protocol. He wanted to deliver Israel by killing Egyptians. How many will you kill? And so his effort was futile. I'm saying this so you will know, the reason you are looking for change is not because you have a need primarily. The reason you are looking for change is because your destiny was captured in prophecy before you were born. And the next phase of that destiny is ready, but you are not yet ready. And so God is calling you, come up hither. There is a great place awaiting you. I uttered it before you were born. So prophetic utterances are what necessitate new beginning. Number two, what necessitates new beginning is the insistence for a generation to align with the righteousness of God. So a new beginning is not just prosperity. A new beginning is a higher realm of accuracy in the spirit. When you come to a higher realm of accuracy in the spirit, it will translate to higher authority and it will translate to higher favors. Take for example, somebody may be singing here, somebody may be dancing here and blessing this church, but God is waiting for that person to bless the body of Christ. It's not his voice that will change. It's not the inspiration that will change. The same songs he's singing, he will still be singing them. But when God wants to shift him, God may demand a higher consecration. The more that person begins to become more like God, the more visibility God will grant him. And suddenly, he will sing a song and it will bless Nigeria. He will sing a song and it will bless Africa. Not because the voice has improved, but because he has entered a higher degree of alignment. And because of that higher degree of alignment, God opens him up. Somebody may be doing a business here, and what he needs is a connection with someone to recommend him to someone that will bring him to a higher level of authority. But God is also aware that that connection will bring more money and more influence. But this man's level of relationship with him is not yet strong. And so if he opens that door and that wealth comes, that man may not be able to come to church again. The word of God may become burdensome to that man. And so instead of promoting that man and creating that connection, God is waiting for a deeper relationship. The reason is because in this kingdom, you are not permitted to have more money than you know Jesus. He said, I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. You are not permitted to have more authority than you know Jesus. You are not permitted to have more influence than you know Jesus. You are not permitted to have more fame than you know Jesus. Because anything you have more than Jesus becomes your God. And so when God wants to provoke a new beginning, it's not the connection primarily. It's a higher demand for alignment. The more you become like him, the more doors he opens to you. And so when the money comes, the money no longer defines you. The money becomes a tool in your hand for kingdom advancement. And so what necessitates new beginning is higher level of alignment. You think you are looking for a husband, but are you a wife? Because he didn't say young ladies should get married. It's wives God gives husband. And so you are still a young lady and you are looking for a husband, whereas God is raising husbands for wives. You are looking for a wife. Have you become a husband? You have not yet become a husband. So it is becoming what God wants that determines a new beginning. So what necessitates new beginning is not more influence. It's not more money. It's not a better life. What necessitates new beginning is to become more like Jesus. And so when God is calling for a new beginning, he's calling for more alignment and more accuracy. Praise God. And so the conference we have come to is not just a conference of a blessing. It's actually a conference of higher degree of alignment. Some of us, we leave this conference and our tongue will be seasoned. We talk out of tone. Some of us, we leave this conference, our pride will be cut off. Some of us, we leave this conference, our arrogance will be cut off. Some of us, we leave this conference, our life of iniquity we have to shut down. Because the new beginning begins with a nature, not a manifestation. If the nature does not change, there's no need for new beginning. If your nature does not improve, you don't need more money. More money will take you to deeper dimensions of hell. If your nature does not improve, you don't need more authority. You don't need more faith. So when God says new beginning, quit thinking of a new job. Quit thinking of a new car. Quit thinking of a new marriage. Start thinking of becoming more like Christ. When you become more like Christ, a new job will be a byproduct. A new car will be a byproduct. That's why I said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All other things shall be added to you. Number three, what necessitates a new beginning? Is an opportunity for a more profitable living. God wants every one of us to live more profitably. And for us to live a more profitable life, new paradigms must open to us. For us to enjoy a more profitable life, new dimensions must open to us. For us to live a more profitable life, new connections must come to us. And so when God is calling for a new beginning, which is the last point, is the fact that God wants to bring us more influence, more blessings, more authorities, more breakthrough, more power, everything on a higher scale, so that your life will become better. He said, tell them that are rich in this world to be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God that giveth liberally to every man that he may enjoy. God is also interested in your enjoyment. He said, I came that you may have life and life to the full. God wants you to live the abundant life. And where you are now may not be a definition of an abundant life. Where you are now, you may just be surviving. Where you are now, you may just be living. But God wants you to live profitably. And living profitably is for you to become a joy of many generations. Not just to be a joy of your own generation, to be a joy of many generations. And so when God calls for a new beginning, he wants to improve the quality of your existence. So in addition to the first 2 points I have raised, as you step out of this conference, you will discover that favor would have multiplied in your life. You will discover that influence would have grown in your life. You will discover that the quality of relationship around you would have improved. However, you will know that this thing is resting on a foundation of a better character and life of God, and a foundation of your alignment to the calendar of your destiny. Because those two are more important. You can have a million naira, but you have not entered your prophetic destiny. You have 1 million, you think is about cars. You may have a billion naira and you have not entered your prophetic destiny. Whereas in the spirit, God raised you as the son of consolation. That in the days you will be born, I will start a revival in the east. You will sponsor it. so that 1 million souls can come into the kingdom. But when the money came, you didn't even know anything about soul winning. You bought all the Bentleys, you bought all the Rolls Royce, and when you appear in heaven, they will tell you the reason the money came, you didn't realize it in time. And so the money was wasted. And this is why you see that many people amass money. The moment they die, their children waste it. The reason is because God is regathering the money back to connect it to the right person. I know you may not understand it. He said the riches of the Gentiles shall be transferred. So when a man, God blesses a man with wealth and he doesn't know the use, God will allow him. He labored for it. He used his wisdom. He stayed all night to achieve it. He will leave him. The moment he dies, his children will squander it. And God will gather the money back and give it to another person, because that money was a trust. It wasn't for fun. It was a trust for kingdom. And so you may have wealth, but you may not have entered your prophetic destiny. So new beginning, first of all, is to shift you to align with the calendar of your destiny. New beginning, secondly, is to shift you to a higher level of accuracy with God, so that you become more like him. And then new beginning, thirdly, is designed to improve the quality of your life so that you enjoy a more profitable living. Having advanced this, what is the protocol for a new beginning? Everybody who enters the new, there is a protocol. And I've advanced 4 simple protocols that everyone who wants to enter the new must experience. Number 1 is judgment. Whenever a new thing begins around a man's life, there must be judgment. The reason is because where you are standing, you are not standing there because you are dull. Where you are standing, you are not standing there because you are weak. Where you are standing, the condition you are currently in, you are not in because you are not qualified. You are in that condition because there are powers that be that will not let you go. You may not believe it, but when those powers are subdued, you will discover that with what you already have, you are good enough to go. Have you not seen people making great impact, yet you are wondering, what do they really have? It's not the best. Thank God for the scripture that he read this morning. It's not the best that makes the greatest impact. The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. It is God that showeth mercy. The reason is because sometimes the best person among us can be in the pit. And the powers that kept him in the pit, until they are judged, there will be no new beginning. He can start new jobs. He can start new projects. He can enter 10 levels of creativity. If there is no judgment in his ecosystem, he can never go forward. When you see a man making progress, check, something has happened to him. Israel was in captivity. There was a prophetic word that in 400 years they will be delivered. 400 years came and went, they were still in captivity because Pharaoh will not let them go. And so when God wants to provoke a new beginning, Pharaoh must be judged. If Pharaoh is not judged, your creativity is a waste. If Pharaoh is not judged, your favor is a waste. If Pharaoh is not judged, your wisdom is a waste. If Pharaoh is not judged, all your connection put together is a waste. Imagine the most connected person in Egypt. He was still a slave. Connection will mean nothing except as Pharaoh is judged. And so when God wants to provoke a new beginning, the first thing he does is that he brings judgment to your ecosystem. In Exodus chapter 12 verse 12, after he brought 9 plagues to Egypt, he said, tonight I will pass through Egypt and I will judge the gods of Egypt. In the course of this conference, God will pass through some families. In the course of this conference, God will pass through some businesses. In the course of this conference, God will pass through some lives. Why? Because the gods of Egypt must be judged. You know, when people are in captivity, you will think it's because government is bad. When people are in captivity, you will think it's because the environment is difficult. Every territory you see is a mirror image of the spirit that dominates that territory. Civilizations are product of spirits. Enugu is first of all a spirit city before it's a physical city. And if you don't conquer the spiritual city called Enugu, no matter what you do in the physical city called Enugu, you will fail. This is why when you see people prosper, it's either they are aligning with the dark forces or they are aligning with the forces of light. But by all means, the princes must recognize your presence. And there are those who are in captivity because they have refused to align with the demonic spirit. For such people, God must bring judgment if anything new will start in their lives. You are not married because you are ugly. You are not single because your character is necessarily bad. You may be single because there is a force that says you can't go forward. And if you like, change your tailor 10 times. If you like, become as nice as possible. Cook for the man. Wash his house. Wash the house. Wash his clothes. At the end of the day, you would have wasted your time. Because if the gods are not judged, there can be no new beginning. You may have a business, you have borrowed money, you have done all the business strategy you know, you have applied all the wisdom you know. At the end of the day, you remain where you are. And you are wondering, is it not what I did that Ifeanyi did? How come Ifeanyi is being blessed and I'm not being blessed? Ifeanyi has been delivered from the princes of the land. You are still under the influence of the gods of Egypt. If the gods of Egypt are not judged, there can be no new beginning. This is why every time we begin from the spirit. The reason is because spirits take territories. When you study the demonic realm, there are two cadres of demonic spirits. The first cadre of demonic spirits are those who are disembodied. Their job is to possess people. And so the job of demons is to transfer the character of the princes into the people they possess. And so a demon of infirmity, if it enters you, sickness will appear in your body. The reason is because sickness is the character of the prince that demon is subject to. And so that demon is like the foot soldier of that prince. And when he enters you, he will transmit the character of that demon. There are demons called unclean spirits. When they enter you, no matter where you go to, if they like, they should relocate you from Enugu to UK. You will be a dirty man. Your life will be scattered and disoriented because a demon is at work in your life. You may lose a job because of your lack of coordination. You will weep, but you can't help yourself until that demon is removed. Those ones are called demons. They possess people, and their goal is to transmit the nature of the princes that they submit to. But there are also princes in darkness. Those ones don't possess men. They are fallen angels. They already have bodies. So what they do is to take territories. And so when a prince comes to a territory, he's not looking for men to possess. He will send his demons to possess them. So when you look at them, the life and the culture and the civilization of those people will mirror the nature of that demon. That's why you come to certain places, everybody is immoral. You are wondering why. A girl becomes 12 years, she starts looking for a boyfriend. A girl becomes 20 years, she has already committed 3 abortions. And you are wondering, why are these ladies immoral? The ladies are not immoral, they are within the atmosphere of an immoral spirit. And the only one that can live above immorality is the one that breaks the power of that prince. So advice alone will not be enough. I travel to campuses a lot. I see young girls that come from good families, good homes. The day they are about to go to school, their mother will sit with them and advise them about boys. They go to school from matriculation. They have a boyfriend. 3 months into semester, they are already struggling with pregnancy. And you are wondering what happened. They came under an energy. There is a prince sitting over that campus. Princes don't possess men. They take territories. And so when you are under the influence of a territorial spirit, if judgment does not come to that spirit, there is nothing you can do about it. This is why many people are helplessly immoral. This is why many people are helplessly failures. And so what God does is that when he wants to bring a new beginning, he sends a voice or an envoy to come and bring judgment over the spirits of that territory. You can come to certain places. God wants to deliver you. You may not be blessed by the message. The man didn't come for you. He came for the spirit that is enslaving you. Because many times when we preach, we don't preach to men. We preach to spirits. And when we are preaching to spirits, only those who are fighting at that level can understand what we are saying. Because they know that this is not a message. This is war. I went somewhere yesterday and I was teaching only on honor. How people have dishonored fathers. And it was intense. I was not talking to the people. I was talking to the energy in the atmosphere. And if I dislodge that spirit, naturally,
people who are rebellious will become honorable. They didn't know why they were rebellious. There was a spirit fighting them. And there are places you go to, you talk to the people, not the spirit. Depending on what God wants to address. But what I'm telling you tonight is that until Pharaoh and the gods of Egypt are judged, there can be no new beginning. So at certain point in this conference, you may need to pray for yourself. At certain point in this conference, we will make declarations, decrees, and impartation. The idea is to change the atmosphere of your spiritual heaven. If that atmosphere does not change, you can live here with instructions, but nothing will happen. You can live here with impartation, nothing will happen. Until the gods are dealt with, nothing happens. Because these are territorial spirits. Some of you, the spirits are over your families. Four young men, all of them working so hard, no one succeeding. And you are asking, what is happening? They say they don't have luck. Who told you people live by luck? Life is too complex to be run on the scale of luck. There are more than 7.9 billion people on earth. If they are living by luck, when will your turn come? It's a deliberate orchestration in the spirit. And the moment the spirit is judged, things change. And so the first protocol for a new beginning is that the gods that control your ecosystem must be judged. If they are not judged, nothing will happen. And you will not leave this conference until the spirit that holds sway in your ecosystem is judged and completely destroyed. There are many young people today, they don't have energy to live. Tell them to read, they are just tired. They want to watch movies, or they want to sit and talk with their friends from morning to night. For 3 months, they are troubled that they need to read, but the energy to stand up and read, they can't find it. There are many men today, family is poor. They can't find the energy. They can't summon the energy to stand up and go out and do something. They will rather beg their friends and keep begging and be humiliated, but they will prefer begging. They will not find the energy to rise up and say, no, I will do something. Because what is controlling them has put a garment of heaviness upon them. When those spirits are judged, a new version of you will emerge. This is how it works. I told you this morning, I'm not teaching. I'm just showing you protocols. And in the course of this conference, these are the things we'll be dealing with. Some of you may not come under the anointing. But when you leave, you will discover that the atmosphere has changed. You will not even receive any instruction. What you were doing before now is sufficient to prosper you. And you will go back and start doing that thing, and all of a sudden things will change. I was teaching in Abuja 2 months ago, and suddenly I gave an instruction, a prophetic word. And he hit one man so strong he fell down. He got up from there and went and sold 4 properties in 3 days. This is a real estate agent that have struggled for years, not been able to make progress. All of a sudden, like God's servant was saying, the whole reality that was sparsely distributed converged together. And he did in 3 days what he couldn't do in many years. Things just begin to shift. Your effort was correct, your wisdom was correct, but the gods shut you down. And when the gods are joined, suddenly you will do so little and experience so much. And you ask yourself, so people don't survive by hard work. Hard work is part of why people survive. But much more than hard work is required to survive in life. Much more than hard work is required to excel in destiny. And I'm telling you, even in the spiritual context is there. There are many people that have given all their money to sponsor the ministry. They fast and pray. They've done everything that needs to be done. But after 20 years, they go nowhere. And they don't know why. What is going on? They are begging God, and God is telling them there is a prince that must be dislodged. The princes that frustrate the possibilities of your destinies will be judged in the course of this conference. It's a protocol in the spirit. Number 2. For you to walk into the new beginning, there must be circumcision. The reason is because when you are under the influence of a prince for a very long time, you will imbibe the nature of that prince as your culture. You may not even realize it. There are people here who live in fear naturally. Because the program that the prince that ruled their ecosystem created produced fear, and now they are fearful people and they are faithless people. They don't even believe that anything around them will work. They are not even aware that their nature has been mutated. There are certain people here that don't believe anything good can happen to them. If you like, preach about favor for 1 year, they will think the message is for somebody else. They will never see themselves in the light of what you are saying, because they have been mutilated too long to be able to believe and accept that they can just sit down and something good can happen to them. There are certain other people that have been buffeted by sickness so deeply that they don't even believe it's possible for somebody to live healthy anymore. There are certain people that have been buffeted by death so much, every 2 years somebody must die. And so if somebody doesn't die in a year, they are surprised. Why didn't somebody die? What happened? In fact, when they are coming home and people gather, the first thing they will ask is, what happened? They will never imagine that any good thing can happen around them. Call them and say, how are you? They'll say, what happened? Every time you call, they are expecting the bad news, because the prince have programmed them into that tight corner that their consciousness have been altered. Their belief system have been altered. For such people to experience the new, there must be a circumcision. There are certain people that have been so cultured by their environment that they believe that you cannot do the right thing and succeed. It's either you take bribe, or you cut corners, or you inflate. They don't believe that success can come by righteousness, because their environment have so cultured them, their job have so cultured them. It's just like finding somebody, well, I won't call any. There are certain occupations in this country, if you find yourself in it, it will be impossible to be righteous. The prince that rule those systems make it impossible for you to believe that righteousness is a possibility. That if you even tell them that there are people who are living a holy life, they will say it's not possible. All of us are sinners. They don't believe that there is any righteous person anywhere, because everybody they know is either cutting corners or manipulating. That is the law the prince have put on them. And so they can never do what is right. There are other people who live immorally all their lives. They've seen everybody they know live immorally, because the effect and the impact of the God that ruled that ecosystem have made a slave of everybody. And so even if God judged those gods, before God can shift them into the new, there must be a circumcision. Without circumcision, you can never possess the promised land. Without circumcision, you can never possess the new. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 2, and from verse 7 to verse 9, God told Joshua to get sharp knives and circumcise the children of Israel. And the Bible said, everyone that left Egypt died in the wilderness. The reason is because they refused circumcision. The Bible said they were men of an evil spirit. The only two that survived was Joshua and Caleb. And he said they are men of a different spirit. Every other person that left Egypt, that carried Egypt in their heart, died. And God said the new generation that will enter the promised land must be circumcised. And the circumcision was carried out. And the moment it was done, in verse 9, God said, I have removed the reproach of Egypt. That means if a man is under the influence of a spirit for a long time, the reproach of that spirit comes upon him. This is why you find many people, they have lived in immorality for too long. Even if God tries to bless them, their promiscuity will insist that they come out of that blessing. A man marries a good wife, but he's too promiscuous to keep that marriage. It may be 5 years, it may be 10 years. Somewhere along the line, that marriage will collapse. A man gets a good job. After many years of mercy prayed upon him, mercy grants him a job, but his lawlessness will insist that he cannot keep that job. The reproach of the spirit that enslaved him is still on his life. So it's not enough to judge the spirit. The reproach of that spirit must be rolled away. And the way to remove the reproach of controlling spirit is circumcision. I know most of us, I teach this many times, when you go to the church in the north, you will find northern lifestyle. When you come to the church in the east, you will find eastern lifestyle. But the body of Christ is not supposed to be so. The Bible said we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. We are not Igbos. We are Zionite operating through Igbo language. We We are Zionite operating through Hausa language. We are Zionite operating through English language. There is no culture that is strong enough to define our spiritual essence. But when a spirit is involved, the spirit will tamper with your spiritual DNA. And if God wants to really give you the power of a Zionite, he will first of all circumcise you. So a point comes, you no longer look like your environment. They can say those who walk in the east take bribe, not you. You are able to stand and stand upright and righteous. They can say those from the north are violent, not you. You can be in the north, yet you are very meek, simple and humble because circumcision has taken place. The idea of circumcision is to remove the reproach of the spirit that controlled your ecosystem. And so you may have been immoral before now. When circumcision takes place, the energy of immorality will be withdrawn. You may have been a man who cut corners and compromises before now. Before God takes you into the new, that energy will have to fall off your life. But it will take circumcision. And circumcision is not for, it's a make sharp objects. He will cut you while your eyes are open. He will butcher it and take it off of you while your eyes are open. You will have to become a sacrifice to be able to go through circumcision. And so as we leave this conference, some of you will start receiving laws over your soul. God will give you instructions. God will give you commandments. God will chisel everything that will make you a reproach to the new land. If you understand the protocol of the new beginning, you will align to it. I pray to God for blessings. I say I wanted to be an apostle, and I was engaging God in fasting and prayer, and suddenly a prince appeared in my room. He had 10 horns. The other prince that appeared was like a man who was buried for many years and removed from the grave. And both of them stood, and the Holy Ghost began to speak to me. He said, these are the princes that control men in your bloodline. And he said, what these princes do is that they afflict men with pride, drunkenness, immorality, and lying. He said, if you want to become the apostle you dream of, these four things, you must take them off. If there is pride, no matter your fasting, you can never be relevant. Because so long as the reproach of these spirits are on you, you can't make progress. They can make demand on whatever you are doing any day, anytime. And so I knew that the gateway to success for me is not just doing every other thing people were teaching. So long as I watched out for pride, I watched out for immorality, I watched out for lying, and I watched out for drunkenness, I will naturally be progressing, because the powers that shut down those from my bloodline will no longer have effect over me. There are many reproaches that we carry. We may come to church and sing good songs. We may even preach good messages, but we know that these things we carry to God's presence. We picked it from our culture and tradition. We know that we picked it from our environment. And if you want to participate in the new, those things must be taken off. If they are not taken off, forget, no matter the impartation you receive, you can never be a generational blessing. Does this make sense to you? I'm showing you why people pray, receive prophecy, receive impartation, they don't go anywhere. You want to walk in the new beginning? God must send someone to help judge the gods of your ecosystem. And when that happens, God will demand of you to accept the verdicts of circumcision. Paul said in Romans 12 from verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, dearly beloved, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He said, this is your acceptable offering. We will stop here. Our time is up. I will advance the second and third protocol in the second service, and then I will make decree over the people. But just in case, for those of you who will not be around for the second service, the third protocol is what we call consecration. That means for you to walk in the new beginning, your life must be perpetually committed to God. Your life will not be primarily committed to your job. It will not be primarily committed to your family. It will not be primarily committed to your money. It will be primarily connected to God. You will live your life through God to see the new beginning. And then the final protocol is the blessing. When a man gets through consecration, God does not just bless him because he wants to bless him. He becomes God's trust fund. The way you have UNICEF. UNICEF is a trust fund. You can find billions of dollars there because they can be entrusted with it. So the blessing now is not just for you. It's for both you and your generation. Before this conference is over, most of you will step into your new beginning. Before this conference is over, most of you will manifest your new beginning. Before this conference is over, the gods that stopped you from manifesting your new beginning, they will be judged. Before this conference is over, the power for circumcision, you will receive it and you will walk in it. In the name of Jesus. And before this conference is over, the blessings of God may be resident upon you. You will be so blessed that you'll become God's address of blessing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. You know why I start like this? Somebody came to me and asked for blessings. In fact, he came to church to receive impartation. And unfortunately for him, it was a revival service. When I was done preaching, the guy now came to repent. You know what he does? He's a bandit. Imagine if a bandit came to church and I imparted him and said, prosper. He's a bandit. And you know, a bandit can come. This is a church. Everybody comes to church. A bandit can come and is waiting for a new beginning. And you know what his new beginning is? Maybe he was using a knife. Now he's looking for AK-47. And then you will prophesy him from a knife to an AK-47. That's his camp. This is why we teach like this. There's a blessing God wants to bring you into. But there are things that must be corrected for you to be able to handle it. The powers that God has made available to believers is too enormous. But even God is afraid to commit those powers to us. You will walk in the new because you will satisfy the claims of divine justice. God bless you.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.